Just as a preface, it's my second Sunday preaching in this way, as we will for the next 5 or 6 weeks, and I've gotten so used to the Luther Memorial Pulpit, which is at a distance, I'm not used to seeing you all face-to-face. I can actually see which of you are checking your email on your phone and who's cleaning their purse and who's napping. I think I'll look forward to going back to the pulpit when I can live under the illusion that you're all paying attention, you know. Although I said that at the 8 o'clock service, and afterwards Dave Zentner came up to me and said, if you want to live under the illusion we're still paying attention, you could still preach from the pulpit back there. The gospel text this morning sort of opens with Jesus lamenting that many criticize him and few follow. He invites them to the dance and they refuse to dance. I mean, Jesus' teaching is demanding, partly because not only he's not putting forth some interesting ideas, but he embodies his teaching. The teacher becomes the content of his teaching. We notice most clearly sort of on the Sermon on the Mount earlier in Matthew's gospel. There he commends to turning the other cheek, forgiving enemies, suffering for righteousness' sake. And again, in a few chapters from now, Jesus will embody all of that. He'll move from the Mount of Teaching to the Mount of Calvary on the way to his death. Here he just laments of those who refuse to follow, who have rejected his invitation. They have mocked and derided him when he invited them in. But then Jesus turns and gives thanks that some, a few, have come forward and have followed. And they've not come forth from the powerful and the prominent, the wise and the strong. And maybe it's at this point in the gospel when we're reading it, our ears start to sort of perk up a little bit. Because, truth be told, most of us are pretty ordinary. We got our ordinary aches and pains, our ordinary limitations and our weaknesses. And so we see people that look a bit like us who are surrounded, have surrounded Jesus. But then you notice in the text, there's a sort of move that he makes. When he turns to these ordinary folks who have dared to follow, who've risked all to come forward, who've left behind their old lives, and he urges them to do what? To take on his burden, to take his yoke upon themselves. It's right there when the text gets kind of weird, particularly in the context that for most of us here in North America, in the way which we tend to think about Jesus. I mean, we've got these ordinary people and their ordinary aches and pains and their needs and their limitations. And you'd think that they might come to this Jesus to seek a blessing, right? And instead of giving them a blessing, he gives them what? A burden. Right? I mean, we come to the church, we think of it as a place to become unburdened, where we can get help in meeting the problems of our lives, making it perhaps a bit easier. And Jesus says, come to me and I'll put my burden on your back, my yoke around your neck. Jesus is not only the one that comforts, but he's the one who summons. He gives us a calling. Come unto me. Take my burden upon yourself. Right? But did you notice the adjectives he uses? He says it's easy. It's light. Well, that's good, I suppose, that the Lord wants to give us something that's bearable, easy and light. But still, isn't a burden a burden? And a yoke is still, at the end of the day, a restraint around our neck. But I wonder, does Jesus speak this way about his burden and his yoke? Because, in fact, it is lighter, more bearable than the ones we willingly place upon our own backs, often without us hardly noticing. To use one example, we live in a culture, in a society that values personal achievement, hard work, success. And ethically, that's perfectly fine. But we know, we read, we know from our own lives, that we sometimes hear about and experience people who die from overwork, from stress, from anxiety, from fatigue, Again, we work hard to get more stuff. And again, that's okay. It's how we get what we need to live. But the hard fact is that perhaps for many of us, we could secure what we need by working far less. Instead, we have begun to burden ourselves by working to get more, and with this ever-rising threshold of expectation, of desire, of social acceptance, the striving starts to be a striving without end, and the burden becomes heavy and heavier and heavier. And then we hear the echo of the words of Ecclesiastes in our ears, you know, I hated all the toil to which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they'll be wise or not. Yet there'll be a master for which all I have toiled with my wisdom under the sun. Again, we work and hope that something comes good of it. Some good comes to us now, and then when we retire, some good comes to us later. And we hope that to some degree we'll have some security and some comfort from our labors. We hope not to be burdened by our bills or a burden to our families. And yet, we find the yoke gets heavier and heavier. And that's just one. And Jesus says, take this burden, take my burden, take my yoke. It is light, it's easy. And then it starts to sound like good news, doesn't it? I mean, maybe some of you are here actually not coming to seek relief, not to be unburdened for an hour or so. Maybe you're here to have your ordinary life count for something more important than your life. Maybe in a world that encourages consumption of self-concern, you're here to get an assignment that's more exciting, more worthy of your efforts than the ones that you are giving your life to and have a hard time getting out of. Or again, sometimes we think of the church as the place we come hoping, but when we leave, we have a little bit more of a firmer faith, for example. But maybe this is one of those Sundays where we come to church to marvel at the faith our Lord has in us when he places those burdens upon us, calls us, summons us to carry that forward. Not only does he say his burden is light, he says it's a blessing. I mean, how can he say that? How can any burden be a blessing, right? Well, for one thing, this teacher is the Son of God, I suppose. That means that not only does he teach wisdom with divine authority, but he's actually, deep down, describing reality. Really, the way the world, in fact, is put together. Jesus is a window into a way in which things really are, deep down, the way God intends them to be. I mean, the world really was put together by one who loves us, one who forgives us. This one invites us to the dance, to move with God's creation, to get in step through God's grace on how the world really is. But we know it's a dance that doesn't come easy to us, doesn't come naturally. It's a view of reality that we're not born with. Forgiveness, compassion, loving our enemies, suffering for righteousness' sake. None of that comes easy or naturally. We have to learn it. We must take on then this burden, which really in some way is a blessing upon our shoulders. It's such a blessing because it unburdens us from all of the cares and burdens we have willingly taken on from the world. So we must bend ourselves to a very different way of living, dying, and rising in the world. And so Jesus says that this burden really is a blessing, a particular kind of freedom. To have this yoke around our necks keeps us moving, as does any yoke, in a particular direction. And if it's Christ, in the right direction, moving toward the loving place to which God is leading you and me and the whole creation. There's the old famous story of St. Augustine. You can read it in his Confessions. Young man, before he was a Christian, engaged in all sorts of lewd behavior, as teenagers do. After his conversion, he noted that this sense of being free as a teenager to act was the worst sort of bondage. It was not free at all to do whatever he wanted to do. But rather, in Christ, he is found to be bound makes him actually more free to be who God intends him to be. So to exchange the yoke of the world for the yoke of Christ really is, in some sense, to lighten the burden, to go in the right direction. It might be the lightest yoke in the world to find yourselves caught up in the divine drama that God is bringing forth. To bear Jesus' yoke, we become a blessing to be who God created us to be. Jesus begins the gospel reading this morning, he says, by complaining, by lamenting, that we just won't loosen up, won't join the dance, won't join the party. You ever try to learn to dance? Count each step, try to figure out where all your feet are going on which beat and what do you already put your hands and how does that all work? Making sure you're trying to do the right thing at the right time. But it doesn't take long when you begin to dance, where the rhythm of the music becomes part of you, that you've almost become overcome by the movement and the music. You've gone from thinking about dancing to dancing. Whatever was at one point hard work, now is a learned task, has become part of you. And it becomes easy. It becomes a light yoke, a light burden. The Lord of the universe has called us to come and dance, to take upon this burden upon us, to learn that we might live, to learn that we might die in Him and rise for all eternity. Amen.